While this is loading, let me tell you that in light of some recent developments for my last field season, I have changed the title of my talk. I'm very excited to be presenting to you today the first evidence for referential communication in a stingless bee species. Now, this study was performed on Barro, Colorado Island in the Panama Canal. This is an excellent field site with a large number of endemic stingless bee species. Now, the species we chose to work with was Melipona panamica. Now, panamica is an average-sized stingless bee that forms colonies of between 500 and 800 individuals. And this is a very special species in that there's strong evidence for a dance and vibration-based communication system for height and distance information. When an experienced panamica forager returns to the nest, they perform a stereotyped set of motions that are accompanied by sound pulses. And these sound pulses have been shown to correlate very strongly with height and distance information. This makes this group an ideal candidate for finding referential communication. Now, in order for a communication system to be considered referential, it must fulfill two different criteria. The first is that the information in the signal must be encoded in such a way that the receiver has to transform or decode the signal to understand the information. Now, I'm presenting to you today in English, and since it's a language we share, you can understand me. However, were someone to come into the room who didn't speak English, they wouldn't be able to transform my words into understandable information because they've been encoded in a specific language. Now, the second criterion is that these signals must be context independent. Now, this is a little bit tricky. In order for a signal to be context independent, the receiver must be able to gather information from the signal in the absence of the environmental cues that the signal is actually referring to. So, for example, if a person walks into a movie theater and says that the building is on fire, people will get up and proceed towards the exits, even if they can't smell smoke and they can't see the flames. That's because the human language is context independent. You don't need the associated environmental stimuli to understand the information being provided to you. Now, the honeybee waggle dance is an ideal case for studying referential communication. It's a perfect example. Information about a resource is encoded in the different motions the forager makes when she returns to the nest. And the dance is actually performed inside the dark, enclosed space of the nest, which is completely devoid of the environmental signals that the forager is communicating about. Now, how do you test for referential communication? Well, in the bee literature, it's been proposed that you can use manipulation or misdirection experiments. Now, in these experiments, you provide a forager with some exaggerated piece of information. You then see if that exaggerated information is communicated to recruits who then demonstrate an exaggerated behavior. Now, most often, the exaggerated information you provide is about the distance the bee has traveled. Now, panamica, along with honeybees and other bee species, use a system called optic flow for distance measurement. This is where an individual measures the distance they've traveled by integrating the rate of angular image motion across their retina. They're basically seeing how fast contours are passing over their eyes. Now, the speed of image motion is very strongly correlated to how far away a contour is from your retina. Things that are close to your eye move much faster and farther than things that are farther away. Now, because of this, you can manipulate the distance a bee thinks it has traveled by inducing them to forage in a tight, confined environment, such as one of these patterned wooden tunnels. Now, a forager who has foraged inside the tunnel experiences a distance measurement that's much, much longer than the actual absolute distance they've traveled. Now, if that bee species is using referential communication, you should see that exaggerated distance measurement communicated to recruits who will then go and forage at a much farther distance than the distance inside the tunnel that was traveled by the original forager. Now, in our experiment, we conducted the study on the north and south balcony of the laboratory buildings on BCI. The nesting box was always present at the extreme north end of the north balcony. A subset of foragers between 20 and 30 were trained to forage inside one of those tunnels that I showed you in the previous slide. The feeder was placed at the far end of the tunnel at an absolute distance of 5 meters from the nesting box. We then set out a series of paired feeders to see where the recruits would go. In our first experiment, we just in general wanted to see if recruits were being sent to a distance that was close to the tunnel where the actual feeder was, or to a distance that was much further away. We placed a near-distance feeder at 6 meters, just 1 meter beyond the end of the tunnel, and another feeder at a medium distance of 60 meters away from the tunnel. In our second experiment, we wanted to see if recruits actually were being sent too far, just how far were they actually going. In this case, we paired our medium distance feeder with a far distance feeder placed 87 meters away from the nest entrance. Now, in our final experiment, we wanted to make sure that the tunnel actually was having an effect on information that was being communicated to recruits. In this case, we trained our marked trained foragers to visit a feeder that was inside of a white box whose only entrance was a small hole on the back side. Foragers had to approach the front of the box, come around the backside, and go through the hole in order to access the feeder. This was because we wanted to try to prevent recruits from following experienced foragers if that may have been happening. We also wanted to control for local enhancement. That's a situation where bees will favor a feeder that already has other bees on it. So in this case, we kept an open, unbaffled feeder at 6 meters, and again, we had our medium distance feeder at 60 meters. Our results, I'm happy to say, were very compelling. In our first experiment, we found that recruits do indeed go to the exaggerated fictive distance. You can see here that the medium distance feeder at 60 meters received almost all of the recruits. Likewise, you can see that marked bees never visited this feeder, and recruits never went inside the tunnel. This is very strong evidence that the recruits are acting on information inside the nest. You can also see that recruits had to fly over the nearby feeder in order to access the medium distance feeder, but they didn't stop to visit it. So this is good evidence that they're receiving exaggerated information and then acting upon it. In our second experiment, we found that, again, the medium distance feeder was the one that was favored. This tells us that the information recruits are receiving from tunnel foragers inside the nest is most likely a 10 times exaggeration of the actual distance the tunnel feeder was from the nest entrance. So this is just a little interesting to show you the quantity of displacement that the bees are experiencing. And finally, thankfully, we found that the tunnel does have a strong effect on information that the recruits are receiving inside the nest. So here you can see that while our marked bees were the ones that predominantly visited the baffled feeder, they were then returning to the nest and communicating a distance that was much, much shorter than when they were foraging inside the tunnel. So you can see here that it was the 6 meter feeder that received the majority of the recruits. So overall, this is the best evidence yet that, that a stingless bee species, Melipona panamica, referentially communicates resource distance. However, while this is so interesting, it leaves open some unanswered questions. First off, we want to know what the nest behaviors are of tunnel and outside foraging bees and their recruits. It would be very compelling to see if foragers who travel inside the tunnel alter those sound pulses they produce as opposed to when they forage outside of the tunnel. Also, is height information referentially communicated? Now, the second question is one that we've already started to answer. We have constructed a tunnel on BCI that's a bit more analogous in its proportions to actual distances a bee would travel in the forest environment. This tunnel is 25 meters in length and is suspended from one of the canopy towers on BCI. We intend to use this setup to demonstrate not only that Melipona can use optic flow to measure distance, which has never been, to measure height, which has never been shown before, but also that they can then referentially communicate that information, which is also something that's never been tested. So hopefully by this time next year, I'll have some interesting results to show you from this experiment. So thank you very much for your attention. Anyone?
I have a question.
Yes.
how many tunnels did you use for your experiment? How many?
The question was how many tunnels we used for the experiment. We had two tunnels that we would switch in and out to try to control for a buildup of odor marking. We didn't know if that would have any sort of effect on foragers, but we wanted to make sure that odors weren't leaching out of the tunnel and attracting recruits or causing them to forage closer than they actually should.
How many?
The question was how many nests. This data is from two different colonies. We currently have a group who are working on four additional colonies, and the preliminary data matches up with what I showed you here today. So this looks like it's a trend that's consistent across all colonies. Yes?
So what's the variation? Would it come then in
the
respective
group, or did
they all,
I
didn't get
it from the gap? The question was how much variation there was among behaviors of recruits. And to answer your question, there was very little variation. They were very consistent in their approaches to the feeder. They'd come, we'd capture them if they were at one of the experimental feeders, and they were very consistent in their behaviors inside the tunnel. So the data set was actually what you see is what you get. It was very, very tight. The question was what behaviors they're using to indicate distance. There's a component of those of the movements that a forager makes when they return to the nest that's accompanied by certain sound pulses. And you can pick out which sound pulses to look at by what the behavior of the forager is, or by what the forager is doing at the time. Those sound pulses have been shown to get shorter or longer according to the distance that the bee is traveling. That's never been correlated with this sort of referential experiment before, though. That's what we intend to look at, to see if the tunnel affects the length of those sound pulses.